תפילת החברים.
The prayer of the friends.
האוהב, הרחום.
Good, loving, merciful Creator. Thank you for the privilege you have given us when you chose us from all this generation to be a conduit that transmits your light to all of humanity. Thank you for placing in our heart the desire to realize the thought of creation and for gathering us in this lesson for us to give you contentment. We cry out to you with fear. Almighty Creator, help the world Kli to build one partsuf out of all of the hearts filled with love, so that the Shekhinah will dwell among us for your honor and joy. You who hears a prayer.
שלום, אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי רבש.
Hello, we are reading from the writings of Rabash, article concerning the debate between Yaakov and Lavan. You can find the study material on our website, also in the Arvut system, and you can ask questions live during the lesson. Anyone who's asking a question is asked to please speak loudly and clearly into the mic.
אין לי מה להגיד.
I don't have anything to say. I'm listening, just like you.
כתבי רבש, כרך א', עמוד 94, בעניין הוויכוח.
רבש, article concerning the debate between Yaakov and Lavan.
אנו רואים בעניין הוויכוח
של יעקב ולבן. That the debate between Yaakov and Lavan was different from the debate between Yaakov and Esav.
אצל יעקב ולבן כתוב,
with Yaakov and Lavan it is written, and Lavan replied and said to Yaakov, the daughters are my daughters, and the sons are my sons, and the flocks are my flocks, and all that you see is mine.
ואצל יעקב עם עשיו כתוב,
and with Yaakov and Esav it is written, and Esav said, I have plenty, my brother. Let what you have be yours. We should understand why Lavan claimed that everything was his, and Esav said to the contrary, let what you have be yours. What's yours is yours. Baal HaSulam explained it in this way. It is known that there is the grip of the klipot, the shells, and there is the suckling of the klipot. He said that a grip means that the klipa, singular, grips him and does not let him do anything in kedusha, in holiness. For example, when a person needs to rise before dawn and go to the synagogue to engage in Torah, the shell comes and tells him, why are you tormenting me? You're tired, it's cold outside, and other such arguments of the inclination that it is not worthwhile to get up and engage in work. And he replies to it, as you say, but it is worthwhile to engage in this world in order to be rewarded with the next world. Then the evil inclination replies to him, this that you think that you will have the next world in return for your labor in this world, this is possible if a person engages in Torah and mitzvot for the sake of the Creator. But I know that you are doing everything not for the Creator. Therefore, whom are you serving? Only me. With this allegory, we can understand his words. This is the meaning of the grip of the klipa, of the shell, which does not let him engage in Torah and mitzvot. And this was Lavan's argument. The daughters are my daughters, and all that you see is mine. That is, you are working for me, and not for the Creator. Therefore, you cannot hope to have the next world. Hence, why trouble yourself for nothing? With this force, she grips a person, and he cannot exit her influence and do anything against her will. And this was Lavan's argument, because he thought that with this argument, he would have the strength to grip him, and he would be unable to engage in Torah and Mitzvot. But once he overcame Lavan's argument and said, "Not true, I do engage for the Creator, but rather I must believe that you were sent to me with all the just arguments only to veer me off the Kedusha. But I want simply to serve the Creator, and you have no grip on my Torah and Mitzvot. This is why I overcome you and go and engage in Torah and Mitzvot. And you have no foothold in me at all." At that time, the klipa, the shell, approaches him in a different way. She tells him, "Look, is there anyone else like you who can overcome the evil inclination? Look at the lowliness of the rest of the people. They have no power to overcome, while you, thank God, are the strongest among men. It is certainly not good for you to join them." At that time, all his engagement falls into the klipa, into the shell, because she admits him into pride. At that time, one should overcome and tell the shell, "Not true. I am no better than other people. Everything I did in Torah and Mitzvot was not for the Creator. Rather, it was all for you. And so, now, I am in a state that is, as our sages said, he who learns Torah lo lishma, not for her sake, would be better off if his placenta had been turned inside out on him. So now I am worse than the rest of the people." And this was Yaakov's argument when he said to Esav, "Take my gift, and I want to begin to engage in Torah and Mitzvot anew." And until now, it is as though I never did anything for the Creator. But what does it say? And Esav said, "I have plenty, my brother. Let what you have be yours." And he did not want to receive from him until after several efforts and great exertion. And then he took from him, as it is written, he pleaded with him, and he took. It follows that here, meaning after the fact, the matter was inverted, flipped. Lavan's argument said, "All that you see is mine," means that everything belongs to the shell. And here Yaakov claims that he has sent everything to him as a gift. That is, he is saying that it is a possession of the klipa. But what Yaakov claimed with Lavan was that the act comes first. Yaakov argued that everything belongs to Kedusha and not to the klipa. Now Esav is claiming it. As it is written, let what you have be yours. Concerning the verse, the camp that is left will escape. Rashi interpreted that he had prepared himself for three things, for a gift, for a prayer, and for war. That is, two things belong to Esav, which are gift and war, and one thing belongs to the Creator, a prayer. In the work, we should interpret that all three things refer to the Creator. It is as Bala Sulam said about the verse, behold, there is a place with me, and you shall stand on the rock. That Moshe said to the Creator, show me your glory. To that came the reply, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place with me. He interprets with me, iti in Hebrew, to be an acronym for emuna, faith, tefila, prayer, and yegia, labor. He said that to be rewarded with the glory of the Creator, one must believe in the Creator. Then pray to the Creator to bring him closer to him. And afterwards, one must labor to subdue his inclination and want to annul himself for the sake of the Creator. And after these three actions, he is rewarded with the glory of the Creator. And this is the reply that the Creator gave to Moshe concerning what Moshe said to the Creator, show me your glory. In the same way, we should interpret what Rashi interpreted, that he prepared himself for a gift, for a prayer, and for war. For war means the war of the inclination. The prayer means that the Creator will bring him closer so as to achieve his completeness, the degree he should achieve. A gift means faith. Because for one who believes in someone, this is regarded as giving, as it is written about Abraham, and he believed in the Lord, and he regarded it to him as righteousness. Rashi interpreted that the Creator regarded it for Abraham as a merit and righteousness for the faith that he had in him. It therefore follows that all three things, gift, prayer, and war, are with the intention that with these three things, he will defeat Esav. Also, all of these three things are between man and the Creator. We should not say that only prayer is between man and the Creator, but gift and war refer to Esav. Rather, he attributes everything to the Creator. But the main thing we should know is what is the discernment of Esav we must correct. It is known that the opposite of Kedusha, of holiness, there is the Klipa, the shell. And in general, it is called the shell of Esav. However, there are many degrees in the shell, and each discernment has its own name. And in the Kedusha, holiness, too, there are many discernments, and each discernment has its own name. In general, Kedusha is called Sefirot, and Patsufim and worlds. And in general, Kedusha means in order to bestow, while Tuma, impurity, means in order to receive, which is self-love. And when a person observes Torah and Mitzvot in order to receive this world or the next world in return, these two discernments are considered lo lishma. Only one who observes Torah and Mitzvot because he is great and ruling, meaning because of the greatness and the importance of the Creator, this is called lishma, for her sake. This is called in order to bestow and not to receive any reward for his work. And it is called pure work. Work in order to bestow can only be to the extent that one values the receiver of one's work. At that time, one has the motivation. But if one cannot increase the importance of the one he serves, then he has no energy to work. This is so because we see that in nature, the little one annuls itself before the great one, as a candle before a torch. However, all the great work is to enlarge the receiver of the work, meaning to recognize his importance. And if he has nothing with which to revere him within reason, then our work is, as Bala Sulam said, when he interpreted the verse, here is a place with me. With me, the Aleph of Iti implies faith above reason. It follows that the essence of man's work is to work above reason, to appreciate the Creator. Because in general, all the created beings feel the Kedusha, the holiness, in the aspect of Shechina in the dust. This is why it is said in all the books that every person should aim, prior to engaging in Torah and Mitzvot, to raise the Shechina from the dust. Because there is no point in working on the little one, annulling itself before the great one. For this is natural for the little one to annul itself before a great one. Rather, all of man's work is only to exert, to recognize the greatness and the importance of the Creator. In fact, a person understands that he needs to work for everything he feels he needs, except for the greatness and the importance of the Creator. Here, we do not understand that this is all we need. We can interpret this with regard to the verse, "The righteous has perished, and no one notices." The Creator is called righteous, as it is written, "The Lord is the righteous." He has lost his importance, and no one notices that we need to work in order to acquire his importance. Because when a person feels somewhat elated, he understands that it is only worthwhile to work for spirituality. And we should say that the reason is that he feels the importance of spirituality to the extent that it is worthwhile to exert for spirituality and not for corporeality. It's because at that time, corporeality loses its value for him and spirituality is increased in value. Therefore, at that time, he decides that only spirituality is worth working for, and not corporeal reality. It turns out, then, that all the ascents and descents do not refer to man, but to the Kedusha, the holiness. That is, sometimes the value of the Kedusha, the holiness, is high, meaning it has become more important to him, and sometimes the value of holiness is down, and so unappreciated, to the extent that it is not worthwhile to even think about. Concerning the little wall annulling before the great wall, we found that it is said that after the Creator promoted Avraham's reputation, since everyone saw Abraham's greatness, Pharaoh gave Sarah a girl, who was his daughter, to be a servant in Abraham's house. Although a servant is a very inferior degree, since at that time servants and maids had no rights of humans at all. They were as beasts. Still, he gave away his daughter to be Sarah's maid, and appeased her by saying, "My daughter, it is better for you to be a servant in blessed Abraham's house than to be a queen in my house." The difference between a person doing the holy work for a reward or because he wants to serve the king because of his importance and greatness is that if one is working in corporeality to obtain a corporeal reward, we see that if a person has a way to be rewarded without working so many hours, if such a thing is possible, surely he promptly chooses this way, since man loves rest and relinquishes the pleasure of rest in order to be paid. Therefore, if he can find a way not to have to labor, he regards this as happiness. But rather, one who works because of the greatness of the king, and his pleasure is his great privilege of serving the king, it cannot be said that he will not work and still be paid, since his reward is the service of the king. This is a clear sign by which one sees the true purpose of his work, whether it is for a reward or because of the greatness of the Creator.
Muvan, is this clear?
It
turns out, before the act, the Shel tells the person, you're an egoist, it's a waste of your time, just stay an egoist and that's it. And after the act, it like tells the person, look at you, you big warrior, you did so much, it's like inflating his ego. So it's like before and after, each time the ego is like trying to manipulate the person somehow, trying to bury him inside the ego.
Well, yes.
So where's the opening here?
I think her purpose is actually to correct the person, to cleanse him from all kinds of incorrect intentions. Before the deed, and during the deed, and also after the deed, the shell or the peel, the klipa, keeps the fruit so it will grow correctly.
It's correcting him, correcting it. It's correcting him by showing him negatively, like his lowliness.
Yes. It can't do it any other way. It's nature, its way, it's through negation to bring the person to correction.
So how does a person come to correction through negation?
Then it shows him that you need to do this or that or that with incorrect things, and he sees already that these things are not good. It's forbidden to go in this way, it's forbidden to do that, it's forbidden to think or speak like this, and this is how she corrects him. This is why it's called help made against him.
Because we really have a very current state, which tried to scrutinize with you. It really jumped me out of my seat. I couldn't sit and listen to the article. Like, I felt like I wasn't connected. Why? We have someone and his attitude, he made everybody jump out of their seat.
In the tent.
Yeah. Instead of giving confidence and spirit, gave a completely different sensation, and we're together now. Since yesterday, I'm entirely disconnected, I feel, from his attitude, his response. All of us are incorrect, only him. How do I fix this inside me?
Well, first of all, learn the views of the other nine people opposite the tenth one, right? He is one of you, right? And how are they different? What does he demand versus them? Why does he disagree with them? And so on.
It's good. By
that, you can achieve many discernments.
Okay,
and what about annulment towards the friends?
Let's say that he sees that he cannot give up. Maybe it is so great that he's not capable of conceding it. It's very precious for him. Or he sees that in such a way he's going to have to give up on all of his principles. So what do we do?
So I'm asking you.
No, I can't tell you. I mean, each one of you should decide what we need to do. It's not there's only one view here and one decision. Each one in the ten should see himself. How does he resolve this matter? Does anyone have a solution? Or any questions to Shlomo?
Yes.
This will accompany us? In the course of...
Fine, that is why I'm asking. Yes?
Thank you, Rav. Over the course of the article, I was asking myself, what is to work the Creator in simplicity? If I would know what it is to work the Creator in simplicity, then I guess I'll be able to really see the Creator all the time, is the good who does good, to see all the states that I get here are really for our benefit, in order that we'll truly reach this wholeness, whole correction. What is to work him in simplicity?
To serve him simply? Well, let's say that you continue the same way towards direction that the Creator wants to see it in the created beings, you try to continue.
Rabbi,
I want to ask, he summarizes the article at the end, saying a person needs to check if he's working for a reward or the greatness of the Creator. Isn't the greatness of the Creator a reward?
Actually, it could be, but it's also possible that it is not.
So what does he mean? What does he mean by working for a reward then?
Not working for a reward means that he has another reward, not this one.
Okay, that's clear. Because he writes, in order to be rewarded with the honor, the glory of the king, we need to pray the faith and pray and then give exertion to subdue oneself. The order seems to be the opposite, right? How can we first rise above reason and faith before you can give exertion which brought you to prayer?
Well, let's say it could be this way or it could be that way. It doesn't really matter. On the way, we can shift from one to the other. Yes, Dudi?
How to put up, what to answer the same shell that tells, that weakens a person on the path?
The shell is always right.
But if I go after it and it's what it sees as right, that's going to take me off the path.
Yeah, but in its way, it is right.
So how to deal with it correctly?
As he writes in other places, that I do not listen to you, but rather I do this and that.
A person is capable of freeing himself up from the shelled whip?
If he will demand support, strengthening from the Creator, then he can.
And then the shell leaves him? Or increases against him?
It participates from the left side.
Rabash also writes that every person should understand every person understands that it is worthwhile for him to work to attain something except the greatness of the Creator, which we don't understand. That this is what we really lack. So I had to add in the importance for greatness of the King.
Through the friends, if you adhere to them a little bit, then through that point of adhesion with them, you can receive an addition of the greatness of the Creator.
To constantly increase the value of holiness, so it would be greater in my eyes.
So work on it all the time, so that all the time you are more and more connected to the friends, adhered to them, and you borrow from them the greatness of the Creator.
Thank you. I don't understand why they work on the importance and greatness of the Creator, which he calls Lishma. Why is that not egoistic?
What do you want to do with the greatness of the Creator? The fact that you want to discover the greatness of the Creator, that could be very egoistic, but what are you doing with it? What do you need it for?
That's it. He writes that when a person naturally annuls himself, right, the small one before the great one, so if I see that the Creator is great, I naturally annul myself. I haven't really exited my nature. How do we do it out of a different nature?
You cannot. You cannot draw this other nature, but rather, the moment that you connect with the friends, and you turn to the Creator, your prayer can bring you to a new connection with the Creator.
So
with what do I need to turn to the Creator the moment I connect with the friends?
That the Creator will be revealed more in the connection between you.
What does that mean exactly?
That the Creator will be revealed in the connection between you more than He was before. And then it turns out that you already reach the greater degree in the connection with Him.
What does it mean more revealed than beforehand?
In a more powerful way, that you exist in a greater egoistic connection, and He shines on it with His greater light. And in this way, you change the connection between you from an egoistic one to love, to an altruistic one.
And
this is called the greater revelation of the Creator, that He makes the change in connection between us?
Yes, He in Himself does not exist. There's no such thing, but rather He exists in tying together all the parts of creation, in raising them to the form of mutual bestowal. This is how He manifests.
So if we revealed greater ego between us, then we need a force that ties us together more strongly.
Yes.
And that's called the greater revelation of the Creator.
Yes.
Thank you.
It happens opposite the Creator. The Creator raises the evil inclination, and we, with our prayers, with our work, seemingly work against Him, and we elevate the good inclination.
אני רוצה לחזור אולי למה ששלמה שאל וככה גם אולי לקשר.
I want to go over what Shlomo brought up and maybe tie it to what Chaim asked. Many times it turns out that I look at a friend, I seemingly see something about the friend. I mean, that's how I feel, that it's easy for me to analyze his state, understand maybe what he needs to do, I kind of understand what's happening with him. And he doesn't really see it, right? He is where he is. The advice we usually give in such a state is give the friend an example, right? Give an example of maybe a different state. But many times you give an example, right? A person, he's in a state, I'm in a state. It kind of turns out it's like I'm annulling the friend, like there's a problem with me.
So,
now with it. So what's the advice here? That I do greater scrutiny, maybe, and understand that the problem is with me, not him. That I shouldn't disqualify him. How do I exit this?
Also, through the friend.
What can I do with the friend? Or with the 10, in order to help me exit this place?
To annul. To annul before everyone and try to bring yourself to a state where you feel that you are the worst of everyone.
For example, I don't know. We may have a workshop now. We can talk about the greatness of that friend, that maybe I'm disqualifying him, that I'm diminishing him. I have complaints about him, all sorts of bad thoughts about him. I'm looking for just some practical advice here, something we can do on this point. Annulling myself is kind of
practical, meaning whatever you do with the group.
Yes. There's a state, let's say, in the 10. The friend said something. I see that he's not okay, and then I suddenly realize I'm the one disqualifying him, and then I need to do something. What do I do?
awaken in the group, a discussion that will help you to get out of the state that you fell into.
And
what should we debate in the state?
According to whatever is happening. And if there is nothing to discuss, then you read an article or something, and there you go over all kinds of states. Usually every article explains to you a certain manner of descent and distancing and forgetting, and in what form it is possible to shift it into an ascent, into connection and encouragement.
If we can continue, ask maybe this way. In the 10, we're always going from the harmony to disharmony. The dissonance. You can really feel it. There's a strong tendency to connection, to go above differences, and then a true tendency to everything just falling apart and crumbling in our hands. And of course, it's good. Yeah, this is our life. It's all our reward is this work. It's clear to us. I want to ask, each one in the 10 really is different. The Creator kind of arranges that each one has a different personality externally, right? We have those who could really awaken everybody to bring them burning up, and some are really just quiet. What to do if, as it appears, that the tendency to things breaking up, to hardship, can be revealed through a specific friend. It may appear so. How should the 10 relate to this? Take it as in a family, or? I'm not sure how to ask it.
I don't know. I think that we should relate to the inclination towards breaking things apart as something that is unacceptable. There's no room for it. First of all, because it is against the purpose of creation. It's against the direction, the inclination of the whole of creation towards correction. And therefore, any inclination towards disintegration is only in order to scrutinize the things that require correction. Qualities and inclinations and actions that must be corrected, and by them specifically we can advance towards connection. This is what we should always see.
Yes.
So, meaning, first of all, it's an obligation of each friend, doesn't matter what state he's going through, to always raise the 10.
Yes.
So this must be an obligation, right? There are friends who it's hard for them to do this.
Well, it depends on the rule of one's soul.
How do we help a friend in this? Maybe harder for him. Maybe he's doing a greater exertion to give some even positive atmosphere. Maybe it's a greater effort and maybe it's easier.
But altogether, if everyone realizes that this is the situation, this is what we have to do, and everyone comes together, then in this integral connection, we help each and every one.
So we need to see in
the 10 that if we'll all make the correct connection, and this jump with that specific friend will straighten out and enter connection?
Of course, the Creator will finish it for me.
If I understood correctly, greatness of the Creator is the greatness of the quality of bestowal. And the action of the giving in the 10, a clear sign that I don't want reward is that I don't want to give up the work, right?
Yes.
So, what if more than revelation of love between the friends, right? That's the revelation it's supposed to be filling?
In the end, yes.
So, more or less, I understood love in our world. I guess it must be something very different.
something altogether different. It's a different vessel, different desires, different purposes.
And a person is just not ready to concede. Right, like if the Creator comes and says, I want to be revealed, and the person is like, no, I'm not giving up the work.
I didn't stumble across such things.
He says here that a person in this state doesn't want to give up his exertion, right, his effort.
Yes.
And that's a sign that you're not working for a reward.
Right.
So if everything in the 10, the sensation of love, why do we have so many things in the world and the universe just for this?
But it's all simply one man.
So I don't know, he could have made a small room with 10 people. Why
this? This is in order to scrutinize with all the details, more details, all the possibilities that exist inside a person, in order to divide the one light into many particular lights, so that the person will feel and decide and accept every light in its own form, that he will feel it, and later on when he will connect all of these lights together, you will truly feel the light of Ein Sof.
So all this is still for the future to come? Like all these systems in the body that not even know what's happening with all them?
Right.
So now it's just about working in the 10 with love and bestowal and the small cell.
Yes.
I wanted to ask here. He writes that all of man's work is only to recognize the greatness and importance of the Creator. And we scrutinized over the lesson, if I understood correctly, that only through the friends, because you are by being adhered to the friends, right? And here he writes too that he talks about the three conditions of how a person can be rewarded with it. Sensation of the greatness and importance of the King. Can you explain how these three conditions work and the connection between them? That a person is ready to attain what is the greatness and importance of the King? Read it a few times, then we'll talk.
Read it 10 times. He writes, first, in order to be rewarded with the glory of the Creator, we have to believe in the Creator, then we have to pray to the Creator, and then we have to make an exertion to subjugate one's inclination, and only after these three actions is rewarded with the glory of the Creator. Practically, how do I do it with the friends? There's a special order here. It says here, first action, second action, third action.
There are entire articles on each one of them.
Right.
If you look, you'll find. It's all exertion.
שהוא מדבר על על הגאווה
about pride.
הוא מוסיף שהוא מביא כמו מנחה.
Adds here that he brings like a gift and he pleads with the inclination to accept this gift. What is this about? It's not clear at all.
הוא אומר ש
again
says that he
כשהוא נמצא בגאווה, שהוא גבר
he's proud that he is the strongest man among all. The inclination says you are the strongest among all. Nobody else is doing like you. Then he's in a state. It says here that then Jacob brings a gift to Esau and he pleads him. Esau doesn't want to receive it, but Jacob pleads with him. And finally Esau does receive it. What is it all about? Seemingly, he gives the inclination all of the work. He says that he's giving the inclination all of the work. Now he wants to begin the work anew.
He searches for how to work with the whole evil inclination. That's what Yaakov wants.
So what is this action of the gift that he talks about here?
These are parts of the package he has. to pass, to give to the evil inclination.
So a person works and wants to engage in order to bestow in a simple way, then the inclination comes and increases his pride, says you're the only one, the strongest one, then you should move away from the friends. And Jacob resists it. What exactly does he do with respect to the friends or with respect to the divine inclination? It's not clear.
Yaakov,
he wants to remain in smallness, katnut. And the evil inclination, Esav, is drawing him to gadlut, greatness, adulthood, to use the vessels of Jacob and by them to enter greatness. Otherwise, he can't even get close to them. That's what's happening here.
So Jacob insists to remain in Katnut. That's the work here, to remain in Katnut. How can a person see his state as worse than his present state? How can the ego, the evil inclination, allow such a thing to happen?
But that's how it's done. That the Creator raises the evil inclination and man is drawn to them. Because he sees in that same evil inclination that is before him greater ability to receive illumination, to receive light, receive fulfillment.
То есть, если, допустим, у нас есть, ну, была встреча, скажем так, и мы пришли в итогу, ну,
let's say that we had a meeting about it and we reached a certain summary.
И мы, ну, стоим на какой-то точке.
The friend doesn't agree with us.
Не то, что мы не согласны, ну, скажем,
that's it. We were stuck in a certain state, in a certain point.
Что дальше происходит?
We disagree, or the friend doesn't agree. What happens next? Do we just pray? Do we come to a stop at that point? Do we get stuck in it? Or should we advance in some direction?
Я бы советовал записать это состояние.
I would advise to write this down, the state. And after some time, maybe a day or two, to repeat it, talk about it, and come back to it, talk about it, and see how much things have changed. There are things you can't solve on the spot, that the mind of each and every one is still so locked on something that a person can't understand, accept, or decide on something else.
Рав, вот написано, что написано во всех книгах.
Рав, it says here, it's written in all the books, that before we start to engage in Torah and mitzvot, the person should build an intention to raise the Shekhinah from the dust. How can we build such a state where before any action, any study, we will aim ourselves in such a way to raise the Shekhinah?
We need to be together before the lesson and bring ourselves to a state, to the goal that by the lesson we will reach connection, and inside the connection, to decide on the correct form of the solution that we see in the article.
Так, а что, вот мы настроились, скажем, прийти к объединению, и что можно считать...
Let's say that we made an intention towards unity. Will we be considered as a successful work?
If you reach one solution, that's a good thing. That's called success.
What does it mean, a single decision?
That you reach something that everyone receives.
Since the Nukva stands at the place of Ima, she is regarded as the degree of Ima. Since the lower one that ascends to the upper one becomes like it. Hence, the world of Bria, which was sorted by her, is regarded as the degree of Zeranpin, since it is a lower degree than the Nukva, regarded as Ima. And the one below Ima is Zeranpin. Thus, the world of Bria stands at the place of Zeranpin of Atzilut, below the Nukva of Atzilut, which was then regarded as Ima of Atzilut.
Well, there's a lot of questions, but for now, let's let go of it. Yeah.
Kuf Memchet. Ve'alpize nivchan olam 48.
Thus, it is considered that the world of Yitzira, which was sorted and emanated by the world of Bria, is then at the degree of Nukva of Atzilut. This is because it is the degree below the world of Bria, which was then the phase of Zeranpin of Atzilut. And the one below Zeranpin is the phase of Nukva. However, not all 10 Sfirot of the world of Yetzira are considered Nukva of Atzilut, but only the first 4 of Yetzira. And the reason is that there are 2 states to the Nukva, face-to-face and back-to-face. When she is face-to-face with Zeranpin, her level is equal to that of Zeranpin. When she is back-to-back, she occupies only the 4 Sfirot of Tanhi of Zeranpin. And since at that time, the state of all the worlds was only back-to-back, there are only 4 Sfirot in the Nukva. Hence, the world of Yetzira too has only its first 4 Sfirot at the place of Nukva of Atzilut. And the remaining bottom 6 of Yetzira were at the first 6 Sfirot of the current world of Bria, according to the qualities of the place of Bia in the first discernment, where the world's Bia fell after the sin of Adam HaRishon, which is now their permanent place.
Quiet.
יש שאלה, איך, מאיפה יוצאים עולמות
ביה? Are the worlds of ביה elicited? Where do they come out of? We know that אצילות, we have רשימו א' שורש. Why suddenly all these worlds of ביה start to get created?
From the incorporation.
Of?
Of the vessel. If there wasn't a shattering, so obviously there wouldn't be a source for the worlds.
It means that it comes from the Kudim, from the worlds of Bia.
Yes.
We learn that the world of Atzilut is the world of correction. What's the role of the worlds of Bia?
To ascend to the world of Atzilut and complete it. Keep reading.
149. The world of Asiya, which was sorted by the world of Yetzira, is considered the current degree of
Bria.
Since the world of Yetzira was previously the degree of Nukva of Atzilut, the degree below it, the world of Asiya, is regarded as the current world of Bria. But since only the first four of Yetzira were in the phase of Nukva of Atzilut, and its lower six were in the world of
Bria,
therefore only the first four of the world of Asiya below it are regarded as the bottom four Sfirot of the world of
Bria.
And the bottom six of the world of Asiya were in the place of the first six of the current world of Yetzirah. At that time, the 14 Sfirot Nehim of the current Yetzirah and all 10 Sfirot of the current world of Asiya were devoid of any holiness. And became the shell section, Mador HaKlipot. This is so because there were only shells in the place of these 14 Sfirot, since the worlds of Kedusha ended at the place of the Chazeh of the current world of Yetzirah. Thus we have clarified the levels of the Partsufim Bia and their position when they were initially emanated.
Okay, that's how he finishes that depiction of all the worlds. And now, 150.
Kufnun Dalet.
154. The seventh discernment is Nukva of Atzilut, which became the Radla, Reisha Delo Et Yada, the Rosh that is unknown, and the illumination of Yechida in Bia. This is so because it has been explained that during the diminution of the moon, the three states, impregnation, suckling, and mochin, of the posterior partsuf, Nukva of Atzilut, fell and clothed in Bia. They are at the state of the posterior of the bottom nine of Nukva, which are impregnation, suckling, and mochin. Nehi is called impregnation, Chagat is called suckling, and Chabad is called mochin. However, the posterior of the phase of Keter of Nukva became Atik to the Partsufim of Bia in a way that the lights of the current Partsufim Bia are primarily from the remnants left in them after the sin of Adam Arishon, which is the vak of each of them.
דחול פרט מהם ובחינת נשמה קיבלו ממוחין דאימא.
They received the phase of neshama from mochin of ima, and they received the phase of neshama to neshama, which is the phase of chaya, from the bottom nine of the posterior partsuf of nukva, and they received the phase of yechida from the phase of posterior of keter of nukva of atzilut.
That's it. So up to here, we heard about how all the worlds of Abiya organized in face and posterior, and now what he wants to explain is the essence of the world. So that's not for now. We will go to the third part of the lesson. Please.
אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי בעל הסולם בעמוד 470.
We are reading in the writings of בעל הסולם, page 479 in the Hebrew edition, the article One Commandment. We continue from the headline, Bringing Contentment to One's Maker Inadvertently.
עשיית נחת רוח ליוצרו שלא מדעתו.
Bringing contentment to one's maker inadvertently. It is hopeless to wait for a time where a solution is found that enables one to begin the work of the Creator in Lishma. As in the past, so is now, and so will it be. Every servant of the Creator must begin the work in Lo Lishma, and from that to achieve Lishma.
Asher mitocha yavo el halishma.
The way to achieve this degree is not limited by time, but by his qualifiers and by the measure of one's control over one's heart. Hence, many have fallen and will fall in the field of working Lo Lishma, and they will die without wisdom. Yet their reward is nevertheless great, since one's mind cannot appreciate the true merit and value of bringing contentment to one's maker. Even if one works not under their condition, since one is not worthy of another way, one still brings contentment to one's maker. And this is called unintentionally.
כתוב, הדרך להגיע לדרגה זו אינה
מוגבלת אלא To achieve this degree is not limited by time, but by his qualifiers and by the measure of one's control over one's heart.
Yeah.
What is that?
That it's not limited under time. It's not that a person lives for many years or maybe does a lot of actions.
But
the way we measure time. Like that. Whatever he is given from above. And he performs it.
What is the degree of one's control over one's heart?
We can interpret it somehow that as much as he is possible to uplift above his ego.
בהמשך מה ששאל אורן, האדם יכול לשלוט בכלל
על... Following what Oren asked, can a person actually control over his heart?
By turning to the Creator and asking.
What gives contentment to the Creator during the state of Lo Lishma?
The Creator accepts him as small, and also plays with him, has fun with him.
From man's perspective, he has to take it into consideration that he's giving contentment to the Creator.
If he wants to give contentment to the Creator, even if he doesn't see results of it, so he still believes that that's the way it is.
So which of his actions give contentment to the Creator?
That we understand the correction of creation, that's connection, closeness, reception in order to bestow.
Yeah.
So with our actions, we need to tell ourselves, the person has to say to himself, if I exerted today in connection, I also give contentment to the Creator in that. And he's not lying to himself. He truly gave contentment to the Creator. The Creator felt contentment from it.
If a person tries, yes.
Yeah.
So who gives more contentment to the Creator? Creation, before it was corrected, or servants of the Creator who are trying to reach Lishma and are still in Lolishma? You can ask this way.
It's different degrees of Lishma. Lolishma, giving contentment from his awareness or not from his awareness, it's different things.
The
Creator relates to everyone according to his place, wherever he is.
Yes, of course. Whatever he gives that specific created being, and what he sees as a result, does a certain created being, from what he got, tries to add from himself, meaning against his will to receive, against his ego, if he tries to add something or not. Only that is measured. Okay, next.
Prophetic truth in physical measurement. Since it is an absolute certainty, the prophetic abundance must be received in those combinations of letters completely suitable for the spirit of beginners. That is, to benefit them and to be open to the self-interest of that generation. Because only then is it guaranteed that the word of the Creator is accepted by the generation in the form of Lolishma, for the Creator did not prepare them in any other way. Hence, this is the sign of a true prophet. His prophecy is best suited for the physical success of his contemporaries. As it is written, and what great nation has statutes and ordinances so righteous as all this law which I set before it today? It is so because the nearness of the physical success will confirm their truthfulness, that in the end, this is indeed the entry point.
It's written that the sign of a true prophet, his prophecy is best suited for the physical success of his contemporaries. What is that?
He knows how to manage them, how to bring them closer, how to explain to them how they should behave between them, in such a way that the laws of the upper nature will be received even on their level.
What's on their degree?
It's their degree, except it's lower. And even there, they will feel, to some extent, the benefit from keeping spiritual actions.
So he's like an adapter.
Of course,
he translates the truth to something they can absorb in a bodily success.
Yes, and each one of us is like that relative to the other.
What does that mean?
That each one of us helps the other be either greater or lower relative to the other, and that's how we connect into one system.
Can I ask?
Yes.
What does he mean, physical success?
Physical success is success on the lowest level possible, in that state where a person is.
And that will bring him to enter the path of working Lishma?
Of course.
It
shows how deep he works in the matter with the spiritual laws.
Is he speaking about someone who already started?
Not starting, the one who is doing this work. love. So what is physical success?
What is physical success?
I don't
think it's to get married and to make money and to spend your vacation where?
No, lo yodim.
You don't know.
Tov beseder, no. Ez bemakom yafe, barur, no.
In a pretty place somewhere.
So what is it?
Physical success?
Yeah.
When he attains
the
Creator, even on the lowest degrees of the will to receive.
Meaning, what should he do before for that to happen?
I guess corrections.
He has
to find the society. He has to connect to the society.
He
has to be active in it. Connect all the friends as much as possible.
And
this way, advance towards a state where the connection between them will be such where the Creator can gradually be revealed.
So why is that called physical success?
Because for the time being, they work between them based on physical connections, a connection of the body, seemingly.
I don't understand, because it's not physical success, it's spiritual success.
This is called physical success, because if we're performing such actions with the body, then it means that we're trying to reach physical success, connection in the bodies.
So, to sum it up, physical success is revealing the Creator.
Let's say that it's a revelation of the Creator by coming closer in the bodies.
Meaning,
we become as one man in one heart, in the connection between us, in the groups. They'll hear general things. I actually need to tell them about the general laws of nature.
That
we are in this bubble, and this bubble is governed by a few forces. And of everyone that are inside the bubble, still vegetative, animate, and speaking, we belong to the speaking degree. So we have the ability to change our state, change our fate. And the wisdom of Kabbalah speaks of that. That's why it's so important. And that's why it is being revealed today more and more, because after thousands of years of development, we've reached a state where we are actually able to digest this.
How can we change our state or destiny in that bubble?
If we connect according to the laws of the bubble, this bubble is the general rule of all of nature. For nature, there are laws, absolute laws, that have a beginning and an end. And we need to try and form some connection with these laws and accelerate their work on us, because on that depends how much we can receive pleasantly
שינוי שלנו על ידם.
Our change with their help.
What's the most important law in that bubble?
The laws of this bubble. The most important law is the law of uniqueness or individuality. That everything works according to one desire, one rule, one cause, one purpose.
Which is, what is that one cause? What is that one thing working? Where is it tending towards?
The singularity works to connect all the created beings, all the participants, everyone who is present, all those who are made here in this bubble. It works to bring them all to a state of mutual sensation, whereby they will feel that the good mutual connection between them, where each one helps the other, is what brings them to a state where each and every one will truly care for the other. And by that they discover that one force that works within this bubble. And they are adhered to him. We build him, we make him out of the separation that exists in us from the get-go.
Who's the creator in this meeting?
What we put together between us, as it says, you have made me.
When we put him together, when we make him, what do we discover? What do we feel?
We feel one power, one plan, one reason, one goal. Everything exists in this concept of one, one unique and unified or singular.
And how does that solve my problems in life? What does it solve altogether?
Everything. Because by that we begin to understand how come we're broken, distant from one another, don't understand one another, what's the reason for all our troubles?
Why do we have all these troubles to begin with?
In order to reveal this uniqueness, unity.
What is a person actually lacking in his essence, every person in the world?
Every person in the world is lacking connection with the upper force. Make a distinction.
So the problem is in the way we explain it, that's our problem? Or like you said, they don't have a record for it yet and there's no reason to make an effort because they won't understand it anyway.
Nevertheless, they need the time in order to scrutinize their records, Shimoto, given the ability to rise, and then we will feel that they are pushing us toward new states, and that's how we'll advance.
So we're okay, we're doing everything on our behalf, or we still have to try, or
we have to try more and more each and every moment, as Baal Sulam writes. But it doesn't mean that we're failing. We need to advance using what we're learning from Baal Sulam and Rabash and to publicize this to all of humanity.
So to try, but the result isn't on us.
The result is not on us doesn't mean that we're not trying as best we can to do it. Speaking, it's fewer than we were. We can talk about 1,000 years ago.
So ask again, what does he mean? That there's an ability to discover that the whole generation will grasp what Lo Lishma means.
To understand where we are. In Lo Lishma.
compared to somehow the explanation of Lishma. This is something we can somehow convey to the current generation. But to pull them in from lo lishma to lishma, we're unable to do that yet.
But
this ability to hear of lo lishma, to be drawn to it, this thing, who does it depend on? On the one giving it, on the one receiving it? Who does it depend on?
It depends on the time. The time.
ללא ספק שבדורנו יש הרבה אנשים
There's no doubt that in our generation there are many people worthy of reaching Lishma, but alongside with that there are many conditions that don't let them.
What
those people who do deserve to reach Lishma, so what can you do to answer those conditions, or is it not in our hands?
We need to do what we can do. Who knows? If eventually he will attain or not. Everyone, at least those who come to the wisdom of Kabbalah, everyone needs to hope that this option exists before you.
So it brings us back to what we read earlier, that he says that they'll die with no wisdom, but they're also rewarded.
Yes, because they've invested. The investment does not disappear.
But how not to reach that state? The state that
they have to invest. Just like you have many people who engage in sports, will he become the world champion? Maybe. And if he is, then for a moment, after him, someone else will come. And more, yeah. There's no guarantee in it.
So it turns out that you exert, and in the end, it's not in your hand in any way, whether it happens or not.
Yes. But it's written like this from the beginning. We don't demand anything. But the ability to bestow. Bestow in a way where you don't think of yourself and of the results of your exertion. Okay? The more we advance, the more we'll feel the... the purity of it.
You explained to Dudi the laws of the bubble were in an explanation to the general public. So how to bring them to a way to understand that the laws managing this bubble, it's not something that if I want to, I'll do the laws. If not, but that you're obligated.
The laws of the bubble are unity. Unity, this is the primary rule, law. The more I try to come to this force, the one unique and unified force, and by that I'm coming closer to truth, to the central point.
Maybe I could hear it and understand it. Let's say someone who's hearing a lecture for the first time.
Yes.
But what should we say or tell about these laws, about the tendency to unite, that I'll feel that if I don't do it, I'm already harming myself?
You should not
close what you can open. Otherwise, you're not being the Creator's messenger or angel. You must tell the world as much as possible for them to correctly receive, feel, and continue.
What does that mean, towards what?
The form by which you tell them about godliness, about creation.
There's that component of explaining how it works. I'm asking about the component that you're obligated to do it.
Each one is obligated according to how much they feel and understand that it is their obligation.